Well, good morning, Centerpoint. I'd like three people to come up here: Kaylin Malik, Josh Story, and Ryan Evagno. I don't think you guys have met them before, but I got a quiz for you, and this will determine how long you've been going to this church. Who here has heard of Matthew's House? Put your hand up. There's a few old-timers around. Okay. So when we first moved here 15 years ago, Centerpoint was involved in starting a church called Matthew's House. And it was over at Fort Lewis College. And, I remember hearing, I never went, but I remember hearing about groups going over and playing in a praise band and doing some different things over there. Well, a couple years ago, we went there to visit with a guy who was in charge of Matthew's House, and we were helping to fund them through the Missions Council. And the guy said, you know, we're fine. We don't need any more funding. In fact, we're kind of evolving into something different. And so we stopped funding Matthew's House. That was probably about, 5 years ago or so, 6 years, something like that. And then we started hearing about Christian Challenge. Now, some of you may have been in the Baptist Church a long time. I haven't, but I remember there was a thing called the Baptist Student Union, and they had student unions in different colleges and universities. There may be a few of those existing, but the big thing now is Christian Challenge. I'm not going to define it. I'm going to let these guys define it. So Josh and Ryan here are at Fort Lewis College, and Kaylin is at Adams State, and his wife and family is with him. And just a side note, she is a nurse. Guess what she does? She's working in a pregnancy center, just like a bunch of you guys are too. And she's doing all the ultrasound stuff. And so God's got these fingers just spreading out throughout the whole world, and we only know it's just a tiny piece of it. So anyway, they all have sending churches. And Gateway Church in San Luis Valley and Sepulpa, Oklahoma. I don't speak Oklahoman, right, do I? I think there's a few others that speak Oklahoman. Okay, so Sepulpa Church is a sending church, and Gospel Church in Durango. And so they all have sending churches. But when we take the Annie Armstrong offering and we're giving part of that money for the Christmas offering, we give 10% to Annie Armstrong. That goes to the North American Mission Board. These guys don't get funded by that. So we have been funding them out of the Mission Council for the last couple years. So we figured it's time that you got to meet them and hear what they're doing and get some more information straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So I'm going to turn it over to Josh. Josh and Ryan will start, and then Kaylin will come up.
Good morning. You're thinking, what's this overweight hipster doing up here? There's a fact that everything I'm wearing is from Walmart, including my glasses. So I'm not the hipster, I'm just that awesome. No. I'm going to let Ryan speak. He was a student of mine that I discipled. Now he's been on our staff for 2 years, and now he's actually going to move on from our group into maybe a church plant somewhere, anywhere from like Atlanta to Philippines. Yeah. Okay, those are really big differences. But I'm going to let him share for about 5 minutes, and then I'll jump in.
I've got 5 minutes, so I'll try to, knock over that. So as Josh mentioned, I was a student with the ministry for 2 years, and this is my second year on the staff. And for 2 years, I was discipled by Josh, and now I'm discipling a few other people, a few other young men in our ministry. And when I kind of think about the ministry and the effect that I had on my life, it's really odd because, like, in a sense, where I'm at now is sort of like my dream that I had like 5 years ago. Like the point I am now with my faith and just and all like the everything that's come from that, like these are the things that 6 years ago I might as well have been like fantasies because I don't know it just like it, so it's weird to think that you know just after being involved with the ministry I'm basically living out you know what 6 years ago I thought was impossible for myself where it's and. And you know, I was always raised. I was raised in a Christian home, and I came to Christ at a young age. But I kind of have like the stereotypical story where, just for whatever reason, you know, my faith was was sort of nominal until like early college, and then when I came into the ministry, and I just I started taking my faith seriously where. Started actually reading my Bible and doing verse memorization and developing an active prayer life, doing campus evangelism, being discipled by Josh, and then now, you know, discipling more students. And hopefully, and the plan is to have them disciple, you know, people down the road. You know, that hasn't happened yet, but but we know that, we know that that will happen because that's what's always happened. That's what the Holy Spirit does, and that's, you know, that's like the fruit of the Spirit. So in short, it's I think here. So yes, I think just being involved in this ministry has greatly changed my life, and I think it's just that in short, it's because like I put my full confidence in God. I abide in Christ now, and just as you know, so in John 15 it says to abide in Christ as he's the vine, we're the branches, you know. Apart from him, we can't do anything. And I think just me being here, I mean, speaking to y'all, I don't want to say to y'all, I'm from Denver, so I don't, I can see, you know, it's really simple, but it's just abiding in Christ has just greatly changed my life, and hopefully my plan is to, you know, change other people's lives. Where, and one thing, I think I'm good on times here. So one thing quick is that also, like, I think the biggest thing I've learned other than, like, just, like, putting my faith and abiding in Christ is that, you know, anybody can do this. I don't want you guys to get the idea that, you know, like, we're the quote-unquote professionals and we're the ones that, you know, are... Like we're the professionals, we're the, you know, the people out there. It's, and sure, like, I'm no different than anybody else here, where I'm just like your brother in Christ that has been called to do campus ministry in Durango, Colorado. But we all have our callings. You don't really need a title to, you know, to share your faith, to abide in Christ, and then to have the fruits of the Spirit. You know, the Great Commission, you know, it doesn't end with, the Great Commission is addressed to everybody. It's not addressed to just pastors or ministers or chaplains. It's to everybody. It's specifically to the disciples who were fishermen. You know, you had a tax collector, you had a zealot, you had even just normal people. And then the last thing that Christ said, you know, in Acts 1:8, he says, "For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses to for myself in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I think that's something to keep in mind is that if we put our confidence and we abide in Christ, if we believe that the light of the world died for our sins, and through that we have new life through Him, and on top of that we have the Holy Spirit. You know, within ourselves, if you take that mindset throughout everything you do, you can do, like, sharing your faith is really simple. It's, you know, yeah, but I think that's all I have. That work?
Yeah, it works. All right. He just sold my thunder with the Acts 1:8, but... college ministry is churches usually see us, and Kaylin, I'm sure you can relate, we're like enemy. We're like the competition. I've had more pastors come up to us saying, "Well, you're not a real ministry." I'm like, or you're not a real church. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, we're not a church. We're a ministry. We're a mission field. I like to tell people we're missionaries. Me and Kaylin are missionaries for the future of this country. And a lot of you guys don't like where the country's going. I like to tell my parents it's your fault. My dad was a hippie. And I said, it's your fault. You started all these protests, and now we don't stop. And so, but what we do, he was getting to the point where basically we try to empower people. I think we got in this structure, especially I think it's the Western civilization thinking that you have to be qualified to do anything. And therefore, we have to validate ourselves in everything we do. You know, like a pastor who is part-time pastor but a full-time plumber is almost unheard of in a church this size, right? We want him to be educated. We want him to go to seminary before he become a pastor. In fact, probably most SBC churches alone require you to have some sort of master's level. Well, who was more like that in the Bible than anybody? The Pharisees. Those are the guys that had the educations, and they're the guys who wanted to kill people. So somewhere we lost that because we get kids all the time. And, oh, thank you. You got it going. We shoot as a mission. I think missionally. I grew up in Denver. I grew up in the metal scene. Used to have the big holes in the ear. My dad thought I was going to be in prison the rest of my life, strictly because of how I looked. He said, I hope you like jumpsuits. And I do love jumpsuits. Why do you say that? But my dad was a pastor, too, by the way. He planted a church in Denver. But when we got here, it's a crowded. Anyone go to Fort Lewis at all here? Anyone know Durango? It's like the big uncle that is really weird. If we're comparing the towns, yeah. So we're here, right? We get there, and there's ministries all over there. There's Master Plan, who's been there forever. There's Rooted, which is the Methodist ministry. There's the Newman Club, which is the Catholic ministry. And then there's other, I think there's an InterVarsity. So we get there, we're like, what do we do? Well, I don't like being in the box. Last time I was in a church ministry, I got fired because the guy said, you're too uncontrollable. Whatever that means. So I come here, and my boss is like, do whatever you want, just don't sin. Yes, sir. So we get there. We meet people. We decide, you know, there's a huge LGB community. There's athletes that aren't being meet. There is a huge Japanese population. And so basically what we decide is we threw everything in our little McDonald's thinking of church and ministry, and we threw it out the window. NAM came out with a statistic a couple years ago that around the whole country, 10% of all campuses are Christian. Just all around. I'm sure it varies, right? So basically, but almost 99% of ministries are focused towards what? Christians. So if you even reach 100%, which we don't, how many are we reaching? Which is not a lot. So that leaves the 90% kind of sitting out here thinking, so unless I just go to the worship service, I don't know what's going on. In fact, it started the first time I met a girl. She said, I went to this church, this thing, a club, and I thought I was in a cult. Found out she was in one of the other ministries because people were singing songs without the words. People were saying stuff that were so Christianese. She's like, "What am I? Where am I?" And she said, "And they all looked at me when it was time to make a decision." And she's like, "I thought I was in a cult." And I knew exactly who she was talking about. I was like, "No, you weren't in a cult, but I can see how you see that." That's where it sparked. So we do everything. All these pictures, like that guy, we took him to Mexico. He's from Japan, not a Christian. So about 80% of our students are not Christian. Yeah. I mean, we've just developed this. We're getting rid of the service. We're getting rid of the teachings. And we're going to meet people where they're at. Well, where are people at? Video games. Where are people at? Well, music. Where are people at? Food. People's. So here's a secret. To people's hearts is through their stomach. If you want people, especially teenage boys, if you want them to come to things, say free food. Isn't that right, Kaylin? Free food. Oh, I'm coming. Just this last weekend, we did a video game tournament. I've been trying to get to this. We have a huge Native American population, and they're very angry. They're very angry at what white man has done to them. We take a lot of brunt of that. I have been called a colonizer 5 or 6 times in the last 3 years by Natives. My wife is Native. She's met with Natives. We do one-on-one discipleship, which is our bread and butter. But we meet with most of these people are non-Christians. We're sitting down. One day, I sat down with a guy who was an LGBT, liked to dress as the other origin. I'm trying to be really sensitive because of the crowd. You know what I'm talking about. I met with them one time, and then the next hour, I met with a big offensive football player. Well, I could be mean and rough with him. And then the next kid, I met with a Japanese student who could barely understand English. You don't have a book for that, people. You're like, oh, just study this book, and you're all fine. You got one guy who's not sure who he is. You got one guy who's a 350-pound lineman who grew up in the church, and you got a Japanese kid who doesn't even know who Jesus is. How do you minister to that? And that's why we do so many different things. All these pictures are anything from video game nights. We did video game night, and then I'm closing, to reach this Navajo kid who basically said, I don't like Christianity because it's the white man's religion. Well, I got to sit down with him. That's half the people we meet with. It's just almost, in a way, it's apologetic. You just got to sit there and just earn their trust, because there's a saying that used to, I forgot who said it. He was the missionary from China. Hudson Taylor. He said, they have to know they care before you can share anything. Does that make sense? You can tell them about Jesus all you want, but if they realize that you don't care, they don't care that you're sharing. So I've took that to heart, and we really started making this an emotional connection. You know, we got him who goes up every Wednesday and shares the gospel. In fact, just had a kid come to the Lord this last week. Yeah. We got the Japanese students. Now we've worked with the Japanese students so much. They go back to America and say, hey, when you go to America, or they go back to Japan, they said, when you go to America, connect with Christian Challenge. I think the last couple of years, I don't even know who that is. That's a student. Baptized. We baptized him in a freezing cold animus. And it's real sweet, short and sweet. But our goal is to reach out to the non-Christian cultured kids. Does that make sense? And we do that by not just being our little square box. We're going to do everything. And there's nothing wrong with one thing about being that way. But you guys know Durango, right? And it's only weirder at Fort Lewis. There's a protest every other week, it feels, about something. And how do you penetrate that thing? With love, compassion, and just knowing that they care about what you say, what you do. You want to know that you're interested in them and not just say, hey, know about Jesus. And it's hard, isn't it? We get kids who get baptized, and then the next year they're like, you know what? I don't believe this anymore. They don't have a support system. So you got to deal with that. So our ministry is literally a mission field in our mind. We don't have a huge structure. We don't have a teaching time. We literally are out in the mission field. Does that make sense? We'll have a table in the back with brochures and sign-up sheets and all that. Do I just pass on to... I think I did pretty good. Thank you.
Take it, brother. All right. Whoa, that's loud. So it's an honor to be here with you guys this morning and share about... our ministry down in Alamosa. And what's really cool is how Josh just shared, they had to take such a unique approach to reach Fort Lewis. And if you were to be able to hear from the Christian Challenge director at every campus in Colorado, you'd see every single one of those has a little bit of a different approach, because every campus is different. And God is doing his work there and placing people there to meet the needs of that specific campus. And our campus is different. Our campus ministry approach is very different than Josh's. It is a little bit more like a cookie cutter college ministry, because there isn't any other evangelical ministry on campus at Adams State. We're the only ones. And so we do want to reach the Christian kids. We want to reach the lost. We want to reach everybody we can, and we do a lot of different things to do that. But again, it's a different approach. So I'll just share briefly about how we do that, and then I want to share just a couple of very short snippets of personal stories of some of the students that it's impacted, so you can see, get a feel for why we're there on campus, what it's doing. And so that's just a picture of our group. Some of them, that is a little bit of an old picture, but yeah, there's some of the group at Adams State. And if we go to the next one, this is my family. They didn't want to come on stage with me, so I put them up on the screen. But my wife, Candace, my little boy with the glasses is Elijah. He's 5 now, and Luke is almost 3, who I'm holding in that picture. So you guys, you're welcome to meet us after service if you'd like to. But yeah, if we go to the next one, we have a couple of staff with us. In that picture, you'll see sitting in the middle is Cody Bybee, and behind him is his wife, Melissa, and they're on staff with us now. I'm directing the ministry, and he's associate director and helping out with our church plan as well. And then in the foreground is a young woman named Medium Baca, and she was, her whole college career, we were able to invest in her. And she's a full-time teacher now, but she's also our volunteer intern, so she helps out with her extra time with worship and with ministry projects and events and stuff. So that's really awesome. So if we go to the next one, we try to do everything we can to connect with students and reach out to them. And we've been blessed, even though it's a very liberal campus, very far from God, we've been blessed with so many opportunities to be there on campus connecting with students. And so we get to help out with new student orientation, and we help students move into their dorms. We help freshmen move in, carry stuff for them, get a team together, volunteer. Parents are very appreciative. Students, of course, are very appreciative because a lot of times they have to carry mini fridges like that up many flights of stairs. So they really appreciate that. That's one way we connect. If we go to the next one, do, like Josh mentioned, food, right? So ice cream socials, free dinners, all kinds of stuff like that. This particular one was a great way for us to get contacts. We met a ton of students, got a ton of contacts, and were able to follow up with them that way. So if we go to the next one, tabling is also big. A lot of our ministries, like Josh as well, does tabling, and it's just a great way to let students know, hey, we're here, we're on campus, we're here for you guys. And for us, we give out like stuff like candy and just stuff to draw them in, but we also give out free Bibles. We give out free apologetics books like Case for Christ, More Than a Carpenter, stuff like that, and just anything we can to let students know, hey, we're here for you guys, and if you have questions, you know, let's talk. Then we do a lot of stuff with free food. This particular picture is from a pre-Thanksgiving dinner we hosted where we do a full Thanksgiving spread, have local churches help out with that, and invite the whole campus. And that's always been a great time, and share the gospel with them. If we go to the next one. We switched it up this year and did a Fall Feast Flannel Fest. So we did it more of a theme, did it in October because their break situation was weird this past semester. But that was a great turnout too, and a way to get people plugged in that wouldn't otherwise come. And if we go to the next one. We also take students to a lot of different conferences, retreats, and stuff. However, a lot of our students are athletes, so we never know if they're going to be able to go to a weekend thing. So for the fall retreat, which we go to the eastern one on the eastern side of the state, Josh and some of the western side does their own awesome retreat. We were only able to take two students, but it so impacted them, and it's so valuable. Even if it was only one, it's so worthwhile, and this was the fall retreat. And then if we go to the next one, my favorite thing out of the entire year to take students to is Life Impact. Hosted in Colorado Springs up at Glen Eyrie Castle. Lives up to its name. It's all about discipleship, growing deeper in your walk with Jesus, and inspiring students to go back and reach their campus and just walk closely with Jesus. And that's the first week in January. So that can be hard to get students to sometimes too, because a lot of times if they're from out of state, they're back home and they're not flying back out and then flying back home and then flying back out again. But we were able to take a group, and they just benefited so much from it, have grown so much in their walk with Christ, and are on fire to reach the campus now. So if we go, and then we're always trying new stuff. We never know what's going to work and what doesn't. We switch it up all the time, every year. But one of our students had the idea, let's do a worship night where we do some live worship music, and we have some people share their testimonies of their changed lives, and then we have a gospel presentation. And so we put that together. We let the student, you know, kind of put everything together. A local church helped out with their praise band, and we didn't have a huge turnout like we had hoped, but it was a blessing to the people that were there, and it was awesome to see the students get to put effort into making that happen right in the middle of campus. And so that was one of our most recent things. But yeah, moving on. The core of what we do for group gatherings is a Thursday night meeting where we feed the students a free meal on campus, and then we follow that with Bible study discussion time, and we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount this semester, and it's been a blessing not only to the students, but for us that teach, just digging in, studying that more deeply, and seeing the kingdom principles Jesus lays out. So that's a little snap of that. And then we also have a on-campus church plant that we recently started, and Cody, the other guy you saw earlier, he's the lead on that one. But it's already, God's blessed it to be a multi-generational group already. It's very small, but it's a place students can come there on campus and hear the word of God preach, have some worship, and it's interactive too. It's not just somebody preaching, but we have discussion within it. But like Josh mentioned, discipleship, and that is the core of every Christian Challenge group. No matter what our approach is to reach students, discipleship and evangelism are really at the heart of what we're trying to do on campuses. And so this is just a picture of evangelism there in the student union building, because there's a lot of students that it doesn't matter how much free food we give away. It doesn't matter what we do to reach them, to approach them, what fun events we plan. They're not going to get plugged in unless we go to them and we start gospel conversations. And so we have several different approaches we use to do that. One of them is some big questions of life. We ask them, what's the meaning of life? What's going to happen to you after you die? And some of these things, and we listen, and then we share the gospel with them. So that's something we do, and then we train the people that we disciple with to do as well. And it's, like was mentioned earlier, anybody can do this. This is the role of the body of Christ. And so if we move on, making sure I'm not going over time here, but I just want to give you a little picture into a few individual students and how they've been impacted by Challenge. So this young man is named Isaac. And his story goes to show that we never know how long we're going to have with a student to actually be able to invest in them, so we have to make the most of the time we do have with them. Don't worry, he didn't die yet, as far as I know. But we only had him at Adams State University for one semester. He came as a freshman. He came there with a strong Christian background, so when he came to Adams State University, it was a culture shock for him. He was not ready for the darkness that campus holds. And so it was just a struggle right from the first week. He knew it was going to be tough living at Adams State University and trying to follow Jesus and just being in that environment every day, because he was facing constant peer pressure to walk away from his faith, to walk into sin, and just constant, you know, teasing and stuff. And it was hard for him to make meaningful connections and meaningful friendships with other students because of his stance on biblical morality. Just having any kind of stance on that at all, it's tough there. It's a tough thing. And so he really struggled with that, but he got plugged in a challenge, made some good friendships through that. In fact, he's still friends with a guy that really encourages him in his faith to this day, even though he's not at Adams. And we got to start him on discipleship and start him with some spiritual disciplines, you know, personal scripture reading, scripture memory, doing evangelism, those things that no matter where he goes, he can grow in that. He can take that with him. And that's really what discipleship is. We want to give these students the tools so that they have a deep personal walk with Jesus. And that's going to continue wherever they are for the rest of their life. And they're going to hopefully get plugged into a local church wherever they go and be a light for Jesus. But also while they're there on campus, because it's so dark, it needs light. So if we go back to that one of Isaac real quick, one of the things that illustrates of what Adams State is like and why Isaac struggled there is something he shared with me is some guys that he had been hanging out with invited him to come study. So he goes to their dorm to study for homework, and there's pornography playing on their TV right in their living room space while they're studying. And he's already trying to fight lust and get away from that and everything. So he walked out of that, thankfully. But that's one of the things, just the constant, it was like that for him constantly, that made him decide to eventually transfer, because he had a heart to reach Adams State in the lost. But as a freshman, he felt like, I don't want to end up where I compromise and I ruin my witness. So he's not with us anymore, but during his time with us, he was able to open up about some struggles he had that he felt like he was alone in. And he was able, because of realizing, hey, we're not supposed to fight this alone. We have the body of Christ. He was able to get help from his pastor and his parents and, of course, us as a ministry, and bring that into the light, because we're not meant to fight our struggles on our own. And college students need to know that. So let's go to the next one. Yeah, this is Elizabeth. And so Isaac we only had for one semester. Elizabeth we've had for 4 years. And so she grew up in a Christian background, kind of, a little bit. But she did not have any firm foundation in the gospel or knowing the word of God. And so she came there very vulnerable to false teaching. And I mentioned we're the only evangelical campus ministry on campus right now, but there are some other groups. And there's this one particular cult group, the World Mission Society Church of God, that was very aggressive for a while trying to get students in. They teach crazy stuff, like Jesus already came back as a Korean man named Aung San Hong. That's who they pray to. And that you have to be baptized by their group and keep the new covenant law, and that's what saves you. And there's a mother God as well as a father God. And all this stuff is crazy, but they take Bible verses to tell students this, way out of context. But if you don't know the Bible, it could sound convincing. And so she got kind of swept into that. They got her to go to their Bible study. And then they're like, you need to be baptized by us. And she ended up getting baptized by him. And then she knew something's off. And she had already met us. And so we were just so thankful that God placed us there at a point when somebody like Elizabeth was struggling. She needed somebody to turn to and get into the scriptures with and say, what is really going on? So we were able to walk her through the scriptures and show her the context and show her that, yeah, salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone. Jesus accomplished it for us on the cross, and he is the only way. And so after that, if we go to the next one, she wanted to get rebaptized, not to be some part of some cult group, but to make her profession of faith, just like they did this morning, that she is trusting fully in Jesus and wants to follow him for the rest of her life. And so we were able to do that at Gateway Church at a little retreat we did in front of her friends and fellow students. So that was a blessing. And she's grown since then to the point where last semester I heard her explaining the Trinity to somebody that wasn't a Christian, the doctrine of the Trinity. And this year she's doing an art project where she's like, I want it to be all about God, not about me. So yeah, the next one, this young man named Ryan, he's a Native American man from Albuquerque, New Mexico. His dad got involved in a Baptist church a little bit, but his mom was hanging on to a blend of Catholicism and traditional Native American religion. So he came to Adams State with a ton of questions and just really unsure, like, what's this deal with Jesus being the only way to God, and how could that even be true, and all of this. We started to meet with discipleship, get into the Bible, dig into the Word, and over time he began to see the truth of the gospel to the point where he moved from being unsure that Jesus could be the only way to heaven to, if we go to the next slide, to being willing to go on campus and share the gospel with other students with me and being passionate about that. And that's a testimony because this guy, Ryan, he was a shy, introverted guy. So the fact that he would be willing to go out and have conversations about such a difficult topic with other people and risk, you know, whatever they might think of him is just phenomenal. And that's the work that God is doing through these campus ministries. And Ryan did struggle a lot at Adam State too, because once he decided to full-on follow Jesus, he got ostracized by his teammates. He got even in accounting class, he shared with me one time that the professor said to the class, "You guys need to sleep around and drink while you're young or you're going to regret it." That's the culture that's there. And it's so very difficult for anybody to follow Jesus and feel like they have anybody with them. But then they do have friends with Challenge, and they have a support group there. So if we move on, Ryan, though, even though it was tough, he finished well. He kept studying. He kept following Jesus. He kept learning and growing in his faith. And he did graduate, and he's now an accountant living in Colorado Springs, continuing to go to church, continuing to grow in the Word. So that's all because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And if we go next, this is the last slide I'm going to share with you guys this morning. But this is a young man named Riley. And he's a freshman with us just this year. And it's just so cool to see how God can use even people that are just barely starting their college career. Riley got saved about a year before he came to college. So he was already saw Jesus work in his life, but was wanting to really grow in his faith. And he came and he got plugged into discipleship. And not long after that, he's getting all of his roommates plugged in, all on the lacrosse team, all those guys. And so he's a lacrosse player. So far he's got two of them. He's meeting with me for discipleship. He got two more of his roommates meeting for discipleship. One of them gave their life to Christ last semester for the first time. Another one hasn't come around much, but he's got him to one Christian Challenge event so far, and he continues to work on him. Another one we've shared the gospel with, and he's coming to Bible studies now, and he may be putting his faith in Jesus soon. We're really praying for him. But Ryan's just been, God's been using him in awesome ways like that. But Riley. But something I want you guys to think about as I close here is, here's something that Riley came. He came with a passion for Jesus, but before getting plugged into Christian Challenge, he had never really considered sharing the gospel with other people. He knew he needed a savior. He was ecstatic for what Jesus had done in his life to save him from his sin and to save him from his struggles and all those things. But he didn't really see his role as a believer in sharing the gospel with everybody else. And as we began to dig into scripture together and go through discipleship, he began to see that, wait, people without Jesus are dying and going to hell? We have the gospel. We have the only solution for that. Why aren't Christians sharing this? He hadn't seen that exemplified before. And it was not normal to him. Now he has a passion and he goes out and does evangelism with me. And he's so passionate about it. But it's something that, sadly, we could grow up in the Christian church and never think of it as normal to go share the gospel and share our faith with other people. How tragic is that? And you don't have to be a special person to do that. We have Jesus. He's the special person. He's the solution, right? And so it just takes, yeah, it's scary. I'll admit that. Even as a full-time minister, it's scary. It's nerve-wracking. But if people's souls are worth enough to you, you'll do whatever it takes. And so Riley has gotten that passion, but I just challenge you guys. Learn to be about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because everybody can play a role in that. Everybody. And your pastor and me and Josh, everybody that's an official minister role, we're here to equip you guys to do the work of the ministry, like it says in the book of Ephesians. The whole body is supposed to be involved in ministry. And that's what we want to do through discipleship, and that's our heart. And God does the work, but he does it through his people. And so we just thank you so much for being part of supporting Challenge over in Alamosa, supporting Challenge over in Durango. And these campuses are very dark places, and they need light. And you guys are part of that light by virtue of your church supporting it. But again, you as individuals could support what we do. And even if you can't do that financially, if you would do that through prayer, prayer is powerful. And then in your town, be that light. Share your faith with people. Start those conversations. Because some people are never going to darken these doors till they know why they need a savior. And so thank you guys so much for the time. And I didn't go too far over. Awesome. Thank you. You know, these guys must have been scared to death that I must have did a horrible job of telling them how much time they had because they were so concerned about that. Come on back up, guys. We want to have a word of prayer for these ministries. Anybody else overwhelmed at what they do? Would you not be petrified to walk onto a campus and have to try to decide what's the best way to reach all of these people? Where do we start? How do we know what to do? Where do we get the money to do it? Let's try that. Oh, that flopped. Let's not do that again. Let's try something else. And just your whole ministry is based on your face in prayer, asking God to open doors, give you direction, and then attempting to make connections. But man, I thank you guys so much for the hammering that you did on us, that you and I can do it too. We don't have to have a special call. We don't have to have missionary status. All we have to do is start the gospel conversation. That's where discipleship starts, and that's what I hope that we'll all be challenged with. Be sure to stop out and visit with these guys, meet Candace and the kids, and just get a feel for the heart they have for some of the darkest places on our planet. And then covenant with them to pray. Could you imagine the encouragement it would be to them if they felt like there were 150 people at Centerpoint who were praying for them every single day? Even somebody as crazy as Josh, right? I love his testimony because I was a wild child too. My dad was a pastor. My dad didn't ever ask me if I liked jumpsuits, but that's a whole nother story. Or if orange was my favorite color. Man, God can use us all. And we don't have to be cookie cutter. We don't have to fit inside this model of what it's like to be a minister. God can use the unusual. And he wants to. So we're going to close with just a prayer dedication for these ministries, these men, these families, the staffs that are at both of these places. We're going to ask God to hold back the darkness so that the light of the gospel can shine to the kids who desperately need to see Christ. And we want to encourage you to join us in that ongoing prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege that has been ours to hear from two different college campuses, both the same ministries, but so very different because of the demographics and the opportunities and the competition with other ministries. Lord, they're completely different in the way they approach and the way they outreach, but yet, Lord, they're exactly what you've called them to be. And so we hold them up before you this morning. They know nothing is going to happen eternally unless you do it. And I know from talking with them, the desire of their heart is that they would just be vessels that you use to accomplish your will, that they would be mouthpieces that you would choose to speak through, that you would give them ideas and different approaches and different methods and different outreaches. Lord, even sometimes when it looks really, really crazy, Lord, just the confidence to know that you are leading them to do these things in order to make connections where these students are. Oh, Lord, we pray for the darkness on the college campus around this world. Most of us are clueless to how deep the darkness is and how difficult it is to step on a campus like that and have any kind of Christian testimony at all. Oh, I pray that you would protect these families, that you would protect these marriages, that you would protect these children. I ask, Lord, that you would give these men, the staff that includes men and women, power from on high, that they would be beacons of light in a very dark place, and that you would go before them to prepare their steps, to make the connections, the divine appointments that must be made, and that you would give them the courage and the determination and sometimes, Lord, no more than just really the energy to go do something else so that they can be there for those appointments. May you bless the ministries, Lord, represented on
the campuses of Fort Lewis and Adams State. May you continue to use these men and women to accomplish everything that is in your heart to see done in those places. And Lord, for the results that will never be known until we all get to heaven, we thank you for them. And we pray that you would be glorified by them. Thank you for the time that we've had together. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be challenged to give and to pray for these dear fellow ministers, brothers and sisters in Christ, that are in a hard place doing a hard ministry on our behalf. Lord, may we be willing to partner with them day in and day out on our knees. Be with us now as we go. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Give us a great time together, even as we fellowship as we go. And Lord, we will thank you and we will praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here. Be sure to stop by the table and talk to these guys. Thank you guys so much.
Jesus.